lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And in a little light from heaven filled my soul, and made my heart in love, and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Probably reading the first 10 verses of that first chapter of the book of Colossians, and I want to say this tonight, that as we've been trying to say on Wednesday nights, there's been a I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the theme that the Lord's been kind of laying on my heart is to bring everybody closer to Him and higher to Him. It's one thing to know, just know about him. It's sort of like, I remember growing up and I remember my daddy and mom talking about, they'll talk about UK basketball or talk about this or talk about that, and they talk about the people so much, it's almost like I knew who they were. But they didn't know who I was, so I really didn't know them. But whenever I'd come across some of the people that they knew and I got to know them, then the knowing them was the true blessing. And that's why we always say in Scripture, it's not as much as whether or not if you know the Lord, is whether or not if he knows you. And I'm glad to say this evening that I'm glad he knows who I am. The psalmist says he knows my getting up and my down setting. He knows my coming and my going. And the one thing about the Lord is you can never know enough about him. You could never get to know him too much. And that's why I always like that old song, "Want to know more about my Lord. Want to know more about my Jesus." So I rambled enough. Should give you enough time to get to Colossians chapter number 1. So everybody's got it, right? Does anybody need a wave? All right, Colossians chapter number 1. We're going to start reading that first verse. And this is what the Apostle Paul had wrote. He said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Lord, one more time this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for how you moved upon him. And these letters have been reserved and preserved for us this day. And God, I thank you for it tonight, that we might be able to read from these scriptures. But Lord, reading, Lord Father, is good. Studying is good. Scripture quoting is good, and writing down is good, but Lord, we need your Spirit. Now, 1 John, you said that we have an unction with you, Lord, an unction with the Holy One, and it teaches us all things, and it is truth, and it is not a lie. And God, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that through and by that same power, that same unction, as some men call the unctionized preaching spirit, Lord Father, I pray that you preach through us tonight, but not only just preach through us, Lord Father, but speak to our heart. Lord Father, that I believe this, Lord, that in every message there's something in it for everyone, and even including the preacher. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that we would open up our heart, and without reservation and without partiality, Lord, that we would hear what the Spirit has to say to our heart. We'd adopt it to our lives, move closer to it. If there's any here that's lost and not know the free pardon of sin and salvation, and Lord Father, the born-again experience, and I walk with you, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night. Lord, if there are people here tonight that's desiring a closer walk and desiring a sincere, close relationship, a committed relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they move also tonight as you deal with their heart. And Father, above all things, you get glory and honor unto your high and holy name. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I want to preach on the joy of knowing Jesus. The joy of knowing Jesus. I'm glad tonight I know who Jesus is. And I'm glad tonight to know that I know about who he is and about what he's done and how it's affected in my life. But I want to say some things this evening. There's some things that God's laid upon our heart here out of these scriptures and here out of some other scriptures that God has showed us about knowing and the joy of knowing Jesus. Can I say is the longer that you know the Lord and Savior, hopefully the deeper your relationship has gotten with him. Or maybe here tonight, if you don't know truly who the Lord is, that maybe tonight you'll get acquainted with him a whole lot more or see him in a better light than have you been seeing him here lately. And I know this tonight, some folks, I know some people don't like the adage of getting closer or getting deeper or things like that spiritually. Some folks, I've heard people say they can do everything all right on their own. But I beg to differ, because the Bible says that the Spirit of God leadeth us and teacheth us in all things. As it says, we hear in Colossians, as the Apostle Paul was bragging upon them about how they was increased in knowledge, how they moved up and moved closer to the Lord. How he said that these since that they had heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. He was talking about how they've gotten closer to one another. And when you get closer to each other, you will get closer in that with the Lord. You say, preacher, you got Bible for that? I absolutely do. And so tonight, what we're going to pray on is knowing the joy of knowing Jesus. The joy of knowing Jesus. Notice in verse number 9, he was talking about how they were filled with the knowledge of the will of the Lord, and that the wisdom and the spiritual understanding was what they was praying for, and the things that they had heard about. But then he also says in the 10th verse that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I say there's never too much to know about the Lord? I've heard people say you can get too much of a good thing. You can't get too much God in your life. And just to get to the point or get to the part in your life where you can't handle no more God, I believe this, Brother Eddie, God will take you on home where you can get all the God you can get. Right now we look through the glass darkly. It's just a little bit right now. But here after a while, I do know this, when we get that different body and then different set of eyes, we'll see the Lord, as the Bible says. The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know about anybody else tonight, but I want to know everything there is about God. Because I believe this, when you know as much as you can know about God, the more of the blessings you'll realize that are there for you to be taken by you, or the blessings to be handed out. Can I say this tonight, in every relationship, the more you know about the other individual, the better the relationship may be, or maybe not. Sometimes the more you get to know somebody, you find out the flaws and the truth about them, and maybe they're not as good as you thought they were. Somebody say amen right there. But can I say this tonight, when it comes to relationship between husband and wife, the more that they get to know each other, the more that they allow them into the depths of their heart and closer to them, the closer that they will be. And the closer they get, the more they'll know about each other. The more they know about each other, the better that it should be. Can I say the same thing about when it comes to kids? We have a problem today in this world where the parents don't seem like they take the time to get to know their kids and the ins and outs. I'll never forget this. I was on the phone with my mama this past week, and I was talking about one of my kids and some of the things I was doing, and she began to scold me on how I disciplined my kids. I want to jump through the telephone and grab a hold of her and say, woman, you used to do the same thing to me. But what she was saying was, Jason, there's a relationship, there's a closeness that you can have with your children, and the more you get to know them and the more they get to know you. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about you being friends with your kids, but I am talking about the more your kids know that you are invested in them, the more they'll invest back with the parents. And can I say this tonight? There's a blessing in knowing more about each other. Somebody say amen. So tonight I want to preach on getting to know God and the joy of knowing Jesus and knowing him even better. Can I say this tonight? In Job chapter 19, verse number 25, the Bible says this, for I know my Redeemer liveth. I'm glad that I know and get a closer knowledge of this, that I know that my Redeemer liveth. The more that I have been in this way, and more I have been going to church, the more I've heard the preaching, and the more of the hard times have come, and more of the pains come, Sister Michelle, the deeper of the valleys and the harder of the storms, the more I am finding out more and a deeper knowledge of knowing that my Redeemer liveth. Me and Tammy went through McDonald's Sunday night after church, and we go through there, and there was a man at the drive-thru window.
And Timmy began to try to proselytize him. I kind of made a mess of it there for a minute. But she was talking with a man, and he began to tell us about how he had a baby and how he just named his baby. But he turned out and said that he was an atheist, but he believed that Jesus was real. He just didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Well, the problem is the reason why he didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God is because he really doesn't know who Jesus is. Can I say this tonight? He's much more than a man. He's much more than somebody who walked in Jerusalem. He's much more than a Jew. Somebody say amen right there. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one true potentate. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is the Lion, the tribe of Judah. Amen. He is the branch. He is Emmanuel. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the wonderful counselor. Am I hearing this preacher this evening? And when you get to know Jesus a little bit better, the more you know what those names really mean and how that He's really real. He's not just a man who walked upon the earth. Job said this. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Think about this. Job, the historians say that Job is the oldest book penned in our Bible as it was canonized. And Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But Job never seen the crucified Savior. Job never seen the empty tomb. Job never come in contact with Mary or Martha or Mary Magdalene. Never come in contact with Joseph or Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Bartholomew. Oh, he never come in contact with Thomas or the Apostle Paul or John the Baptist. But Job had a desire in his heart, and he knew who God was. And the Bible says that he walked with God, and he was perfect in the eyes of God. And though everything was falling apart around him, and though he lost everything, lost farms, and lost it all, still yet he could boldly say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. How can he say something in a time like that? Well, can I tell you this? The more and closer you get to God, and the storms may beat upon your house, and the winds may blow against your soul, and the problems of life may come crashing down around you, the one thing you can know for sure is that your Redeemer liveth. It's a deeper knowledge. If you know a deeper, closer knowledge with the Lord, you could also say, as Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And can I say tonight, there's a lot of things. I'm one of those people, I like to know a lot of things. I'll find out. I want to research. I want to dissect. I want to find out some things. And many times in the Bible, I do believe sometimes I'll come across and skim across scriptures. And a lot of times there's scriptures that's quoted quite a bit, but a lot of times they kind of lose their luster. They kind of lose the importance and the power of them. Well, the only reason why is a lot of times we just look at the Bible and say, yeah, that's the Bible. But when you get closer to God and realize and look back on all the problems that you ever have, God has always turned everything out to the good. Don't get me wrong. You might be sitting there and thinking just exactly how God's going to turn something around for the good. Well, all you need to do is just sit and patiently wait upon God. For God cannot lie. It's one thing He cannot do. And He did say that I know that we can know that all things work together for the good. You might be looking saying, preacher, I don't see the silver lining. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't see whether there's anything coming going to happen. Well, get a little closer to God and get to know Him a little bit better. And you can know that sooner or later He's going to turn it out to be for your good. Sometimes we look at the situation and the circumstance and we allow them to dictate the way we walk in life and the way we deal with things. Now, can I say it tonight, if we look at it like this, the more I know about my God, the more I know it's going to come around for my good. Some folks say, well, I don't see it. Well, say it's not for your good, it's for my good. Somebody say, well, preacher, I just don't think things are going to get any better. Well, you can put your life in the mully grubs. I know it's going to turn around for good. Some people say, preacher, I just don't think things are going to turn around. I'm not looking for things to turn around. I'm looking for God to make them good. Amen tonight. Can I say this? There's also to go with Job in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. This is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. He said, I'm not ashamed. Amen. He is not ashamed. He says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You've heard me say this before, that many a times People have said, well, that day is the day of the last day of time. Some people say that day is the day that they gave their life unto the Lord. But can I say this? I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I don't believe in Allah. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in Confucius. I don't believe in the Dalai Lama. I do believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in Dr. Phil. I don't believe in Joel Osteen. I don't believe in all the other people on the radio and on the TV. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash them. But I do believe in Jesus Christ. I know Him. I've met Him. And I know He can keep that which I have given unto Him, committed unto Him. I've committed my life. I have committed my family. I've committed my job. I've committed everything there is about life that can be committed. And when you commit it to the Lord, and the more you know about Him, you can honestly say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded He's able. In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 14, some more things about knowing the Lord. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Somebody say amen right there. I didn't know that scripture was in the Bible. I didn't know what all that meant. But I just knew after I got saved, I just loved everybody in the church. I loved everybody that was in there. A lot of people I didn't even know. A lot of people probably thought I was weird. A lot of folks probably think you're just crazy. But there was a love that moved inside my heart. Not just a love that I could feel, Tammy, but a love that was going and pouring out unto everybody else. And when there comes times of doubt and there come times of restraint, of me not knowing exactly how life was supposed to be, I could go to 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 14. And I could say, I know I've passed from death unto life. Because I love the brethren. I love the church. I love the people in the church. I love what the church is supposed to stand for. I love that the church is founded upon the rock. I love that the church is filled up with people who have a testimony of Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, I know there's people out there who say, well, I really don't love the people that I go to church with. Well, I've got a problem because the Bible says you know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. I've heard people say, we don't quite like the people I go to church with, and it'd be better off if they were not here. I would honestly have to say that some folks like that need to get to them place to an altar and open up a King James Bible and take them the biggest, brightest yellow or orange highlighter and highlight 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 14 and say, we know we passed from death unto life. You said, preacher, why do you keep hammering on that message for, or on that verse for? Because there's something that God wants me to get to realize the show, how that we can get closer with Him and some of the attributes that come with knowing more and getting to know Him better. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 1, for we know, I'm glad I know this, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Can I give you one more? In 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We was talking to some people last night, and some folks was highly upset because the way life is being done to certain individuals. Can I say this tonight? We're all going to come down to something. Something's going to take us out. I don't like it no more than you do. It absolutely bothers me when people suffer and people are in pain and people are just having to go through the meat grinder of life or the meat grinder of the end of life. But there's a promise that you can know that settles in the heart that can change the frown and turn it upside down. It can change the pain that you have to endure into the blessing knowing that it's almost over. Because I have this knowledge. I know it. I know it. Because Paul said if all I had to hope for was just this life only, I'd be a man most miserable. But I'm glad I know if this earthly house, this body, this tabernacle wasn't dissolved, I got a better one that's made by God up in heaven. Oh, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, bless His holy and righteous name. I ain't got to worry about cancer on that new body. I ain't got to worry about bad eyesight in that new body. I ain't got to worry about diabetes in that new body. I ain't got to worry about polio in that new body. Crippledness in that new body. Deafness in that new body. Oh, the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2, it says we shall see Him as He is, and we'll have a body likened unto His, a glorified body. Paul said it's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's so corruptible, it'll be raised incorruptible. Oh, bless His righteous name. I know that the end is not the end for me, but it's just the beginning. Anybody hear this, preacher? Huh? Is that some things that you know for sure? Do you know Jesus well enough to where you don't have to worry about death? You don't have to worry about having love in your heart? Do you know Jesus enough where you don't have to worry about being ashamed when someone asks you what is your religious preference? I've often thought about that. What is my religious preference? Well, my religious preference, Sister Shirley, is Jesus. Jesus. Many times people say, well, my religious preference is Christianity. And I know, and I understand. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to mix up words and play a mind trick. But Christianity, as we said here recently, is a behavior. It's not a religious preference. It's a behavior. It's a character that was displayed by Jesus while he was upon the earth. And the first time it was mentioned was in the book of Acts. It talks about those at Antioch. They were called Christians because they were Christ-like. Their behavior, their walk, it's almost like as it was in Acts chapter number 4 when the Peter stood up boldly and proclaimed and preached the gospel unto the Jewish religion, unto the Jewish leaders and the priests and all the Pharisees. And the Bible says that they thought and took note that he was an ignorant man, but they took note and realized that he had spent some time with Jesus. That means he knew who Jesus was. He had been there with him. There were some attributes that he had in his life and some confidences that came. Think about this. The Apostle Peter was one who was always looked down upon and frowned upon because a lot of times he would open up his mouth and insert his foot. But can I say this tonight? The one thing that the Apostle Peter had that a lot of folks is lacking in today is a zeal and a desire to do what God wants him to do. Don't get me wrong, and it's not good that you stumble and fall. But can I say this? It's worse to stay down, pick yourself up, and dust yourself off, and carry on with the Lord. And Peter was one who can boldly say that though other people may thought I'm ignorant, though they may say I'm just some plumb dumb fisherman, and all they've ever done was caught fish, but the one thing they also had to realize that he spent time with Jesus. I wonder how much time we spent with the Lord this week. I wonder how much time we spent with him and talking with him. The knowledge of Newton, knowing him better. I thought about this, and one of the things I have retracted myself from doing is that I find out on the social media that sometimes you can get caught up in the conversations and the things that go on. And I find myself knowing more about the conversation of the day on social media than I did the conversation of the Word of God. And some people might say, well, preacher, that's kind of harsh, but can I tell you this today? The one thing that them disciples had, the one thing that the early church had, and a lot of the old timers, as people would like to say, had, they had a walk with the Lord and they had a knowledge of the Lord. They knew things about him. They knew some things. They knew the likes and the dislikes. I wonder if anybody knows the dislikes of the Lord. I heard a man say this on the radio here recently as I was driving the truck. He said, you know, the one thing that people need to worry about is the things that Jesus liked. If we focus more on the things that Jesus liked, life would be a whole lot better. There's only one problem with that. There were certain things Jesus didn't like, and Jesus made it a point of taking care of them. Some people might say, well, Jesus never hurt nobody. Jesus never bothered nobody. Go ask the money changers who got whipped across the backside because they was buying and selling in the temple of the Lord. Y'all hear the preacher. Because too many times people get this idea of Jesus and they just think he's baby Jesus and that's all that he ever was. But I'm telling you, this Jesus, baby Jesus grew and he became a man. And this man was not just any man, he was the God man. 100% man and 100% God. And he did some things that nobody else could ever do. He walked upon the water. He healed the blinded eyes. He opened up the deaf ears. He caused lame people to walk. He took leprosy away from lepers. I mean, he raised up dead people. I mean, every time he walked by a funeral, he ruined the funeral for the funeral parlor because it would bring them back to life. Oh, I remember what Jeff Coomer said on Easter Sunday morning. He said, nobody ever lived like this man lived. Nobody ever died like this man died. And nobody ever got up and rose up like this man did. And nobody ever will. When Jesus died upon the cross, know this. I wonder if anybody knows how much more Jesus of this you know about his death. Notice this, that on Golgotha's Hill, there's three crosses, not just one. On Golgotha's Hill, there's three men being crucified. On Golgotha's Hill, there's two guilty and one innocent. But oh, the two guilty was paying for their own sins. But Jesus is dying for their sins also. And the sin for all mankind. Those from all the way from Adam and Eve. And all the way up to the end of time. Jesus did not die just a natural death. He died the death for every person that ever be born, lived, and died in this world. He died like nobody else ever did. Jesus lived a life like nobody else lived, and he died a death that nobody else could ever die. Somebody asked me, and I've said this before, and I've shared this with the church before. Some people might say, some people say, well, Jesus went to hell. And Jesus, did he really go to hell? Absolutely, he was in hell. On those 6 hours upon the cross, the Bible says there was darkness upon the face of the earth. And the Bible says he cried out, God, God, why hast thou forsaken me? He even cried out and said, I thirst, I thirst. Well, the rich man, when he was in hell, he was in torment. He's asking for a drop of water. Oh, Jesus didn't go into the flames and tiptoe through the flames. Oh, hell is the absence of God, being cut off from God, being cut off from love, being cut off from life, alienated from everything that you know and you love. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid it all. Nobody else did it. Nobody else could do it. Only Jesus could. I've heard people say, preacher, I don't agree with that. Ask him about it when you get alone with him. Ask him about what he suffered upon that cross. He and the Father had never been separated before, but on the cross of Calvary they were separated. He had never seen darkness, but on the cross of Calvary, Sarah, he felt the darkness. The darkness was so thick and the darkness was so powerful. He wasn't just seen, but he was felt. And oh, that's why he cried out, Labasha, Labasha, Sani, why hast thou forsaken me? Nobody ever did it like Jesus did. And when you get a deeper, closer walk with the Lord, when you know him better, oh, the blessings and the joy of knowing him even better. But before I can get to the last part, I got to get to this part. This is the part that God really laid upon my heart, really hard and really heavy. I had no idea. I just want to tell you this tonight. This was on my heart. I did not have no one else in mind. But this was said into my heart. And when this was said into my heart, it actually blew me away. I wonder tonight if anybody here, the knowledge of Jesus Christ is based upon your church knowledge. How much you know about Jesus is how much you know about church. You say, preacher, I don't understand. A lot of folks know all they know about the Lord is about what they know at church. They know the songs are about Jesus. They know the praying is to God and through Jesus. They know this and they know that, but it's only based upon church. There never has really been a settled, deep walking with God or walking with the Lord. Can I say this tonight? That so many people have been duped. I was talking to somebody last week as we was riding together in the truck, and they looked at me and said, Jason, I'll be honest with you, I never really took it that seriously. It really bothers me to this day that I never really took it that seriously. This individual was raised up in church. He said, the only thing I really knew for sure was just church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying church is not a must know. Church is a must know. You should know the things that go on in church. You should know that the house of God has been sanctified and separated for the house of the Lord and for the house of worship. This is where we come to worship. This is where we come to sing songs and to build up together. This is the place where we come to testify and brag about what God's done us throughout the week. These are the things we come and bring our burdens to help pray. Don't get me wrong. All those things are good. But when you walk out of this church and the only knowledge that you have about the Lord and Savior was the time that you spend in church, it's going to make that time out there more difficult. It'll cause the distractions of the world to come stronger. It'll cause the temptations of life to cling more tightly about your heart and about your life and about your mind. And can I say this? A lot of folks don't understand. I've heard some people ask me, they say, preacher, how can I get through? How can I get through? I mean, some of these things I'm wrestling with and I'm struggling with. I talked to an individual here lately. They said, my friends have turned their back on me. My friends have done this. I have no one. I said, you've got someone. And his name's Jesus Christ. You can't just get to know him at church, though that's one of the best places to be at. But you got to get to know him Monday through Sunday, Sunday through Sunday, on a late Friday night. Get along with him and talk with him. Get in your car, get in your basement, get in your bathroom, get in your bedroom, get in your kitchen, and talk with him. I've had some people say, preacher, oh, preacher, I'm so lonely. Well, you've got Jesus in your life. There's no need for you to be lonely. Some people say, well, I can't talk to him. I said, oh, you can talk to him. I talk to him all the time. People may think I'm crazy, and some people may think I'm nuts. But they can think what they want to think, but I want to get a deeper knowledge and knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's joy that comes with it. Oh, can I say this tonight? So many people only know of salvation. I've heard this said, when did you get saved? Brother so-and-so saved me. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so can't save no one. I've heard some people say, well, you know, the church saved you. The church don't save you. So many times the knowledge, and I've heard some people say, well, I know Bible. I know a lot of the Bible. I've read the Bible. Somebody was talking to me today. They was telling me this. This is the story they gave me. They said, I know I've read the Bible. Isn't there a story in the Bible where there was a tribe of the Israelites who couldn't say words the right way, like onion, and they made up their own language to get blended in? I said, no, I've read that Bible. I don't know how many times. I don't know of a tribe that can't say the word onion. But so many times people's knowledge is based upon things. It's not based upon a walk and a sincere desire with Jesus Christ. I'm talking when the friends have gone home. I'm talking when the singing has stopped. I'm talking when the preaching has silenced. What's that desire? What's that relationship? The alone time with Him. There's an old song in the Red Baxter Church hymnal. There's times I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. Some days it pays to be all alone with Jesus Christ. And here's what God showed me in Revelation chapter number 2. When you replace church knowledge instead of the knowledge for Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter number 2, He says unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is what He says. He says, I know thy works. So He knows their works. He knows everything about their works. He says, I know thy labor. He even knows everything about their labor. He knows their patience in which and how that thou canst bear them that which are evil. That means He knows who's doing the good things and who's doing the wrong things. He knows that thou hast and that how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. They proved them out. They know these things. They got all the knowledge of how you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to talk, and how you're supposed to dress, and how you're supposed to be, and how you're supposed to greet one another. When it come time to get something done, they was Johnny on the spot. They got it took care of. When it come time to labor, and labor means a more intense and long-lasting work, they was willing to do it. They knew those things. Verse number 3 says, they has borne, and they have patience, and for His name's sake they has labored, and has not fainted. That means they would stay, they would keep fighting, they would keep working, and everything they knew, they knew everything about the church, they had everything patted down, But the Bible says in verse number 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Can I say this tonight? One of the first things I remember learning whenever I first got saved, I remember I had to go out and start studying about some doctrinal things. I didn't have no one to pull me aside. I didn't have a teacher to pull me into a study and talk to me about things. My first pastor, I love him with all my heart, and some of the best things he ever done for me, Brother Randy, he told me, he said, Jason, you've got everything you need to know all there is to know about the Lord. He said, you've got your King James Bible, and you have prayer, and there's an unction that comes from the Lord. And I studied, and I studied, and I studied. But I remember I got all caught up with the things about church. I knew exactly why the church covenant hung upon the wall. I went and studied out the church covenant. I know why it hangs upon the wall. I know why it's not a piece of paper. I know why it's blessed by God. I know why it's needed. I know why it needs to be put up. But all those things don't matter if I had not the love that Jesus said that they had forsaken in my heart. I know why those Ten Commandments hang upon the wall. I know what they represent. I know why they're there. Oh, the testimony of God being in the Ark of the Covenant. He wrote those laws with His finger. Moses carried those laws. The children of Israel bore those laws. Those things were kept by Jesus Christ so that we might be able to have a right to life. But if you don't have the love of God in your heart, if you don't have a love for Jesus, and it's all for naught. He says, I know everything that you're doing. You do it right. You come in, you sing right. You're in the perfect pitch. You got the right Bible. You got the right clothes. You got the right doctrine. You got the right this. You got the right that. But where's my love? Where's the alone time? Where's the courting, if you'll have it? Where's the holding the hands with the Savior? When's spending some time and singing songs? Am I hearing this preacher? When's the time that you sat down there just by yourself and sang Amazing Grace? And just because He's the one that made it all possible. I'm talking about that love, that deep and enthralling and joy and smile giving and tear jerking love that you have for the Lord. I've heard people say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. What do you know about Him? What do you know about the Lord? Do you know anything, attributes about Him, things that stick close? There's people out there, Sarah, that wants to know all the fine points about what the Bible says about this and the Bible says about that. And all those things are good. But the most important thing we need to know is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when it's all said and done, don't get me wrong, as it says in that fifth verse, it says, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen. He says, repent and do thy first works. Or repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But thou hast that, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. These people knew the things that the Lord loved, and they knew the things that the Lord hated. And I hear people all the time saying, I want that closer walk with the Lord. Well, the best way to get that closer walk with God and to know more about Him, when it comes in times of heartache and times of despair and times of trouble. I had somebody come to me here recently, not to know what it was, a couple months ago. They said, you know, I just feel like I'm in a dark place. I just don't feel like I can get nowhere. And I'm struggling. Don't get me wrong. I ain't saying the person's bad for being in that dark spot. But can I tell you, the dark spots and the deep, dark caverns get farther few between the closer you get to God.
Amen.
And the stronger love you have to Him. Do you know Him just because of the way things go at church? Talked to a buddy one time. It was three preachers. We was at Frisch's and Post Tape. And this young preacher, he began to talk about doctrine. And there was me and another preacher. Of course, I'm young too. I'm sitting there. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I've learned the hard way. Shut mouth catcheth no foot. And this, we was talking about doctrine. And the questions began to fly. And the points begin to go back and forth, and I'm giddy as a kid in the candy store because I'm learning more about Jesus Christ from this older man of God. And this young fellow says, well, I don't agree with that. And they said, why don't you agree with that? He says, because my preacher says it's this. And that older preacher looked at him, he said, study to show thyself approved, not your preacher approved. He kind of looked funny. He looked at him, he said, look, he said, your walk with the Lord ain't based upon you and your pastor. It's based upon you and your closeness with Jesus Christ. I wonder if your walk with the Lord is based upon me or the deacon or how long this church has stood here. Don't get me wrong. All those things have a place, and rightly so. But there's one that trumps them all, and that's Jesus Christ. I've often heard people say, well, I don't even know how to do this. I don't even know how to do that. Well, if you don't know Jesus, then what else can you know? Because Jesus said, all these things, you've got them down pat. You know all this stuff. You know how the offering's supposed to be took up. You know how the attendance is supposed to be wrote. You know how where it's supposed to be put up on there. You know everything's supposed to go down. How are they supposed to go? But He said, you forgot something. You forgot the most important thing. Where's that love you're supposed to have? Where's that love? I was talking to someone here recently. I've been having a lot of conversations here recently. They've all just come to head here tonight. I remember some man was texting me, and he was texting me about he was having some marital problems. And he kept saying, you know, I don't know why she's upset. I don't know why she's mad. She thinks I'm doing this. She thinks I'm doing that. I go, well, I can't help you. I don't know what her side of the story is. He said, I'm asking you for help. She's packing up everything and she's leaving me. And I know for a fact that and my wife knows about the situation. I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know how many times in the past his wife would want him to do something with her. She'd want him to spend time with her, but he'd rather turn around. She'd rather go forward. He'd rather go do something else, somewhere else. And finally, he's caught up with him. She packed everything up. She's leaving. The only thing I knew to tell him, Junior, was I said, you better pack up your car and chase her down. Fight for her. I said, Christ would fight for the church. Christ loved the church. Gave His body for the church. I said, if you love her, go fight for her. He says, you're crazy. I said, all the things I could, you could, the husband can build the best house for the wife. And the wife could keep the best house for the husband. The money could always be pouring in, and the groceries and the suppers could all be cooked great. But if there's no love, if there's no love, it'll fall apart. You become strangers. You said, preacher, do you think there's saved people that's a stranger to Jesus Christ? I don't think they're a stranger to Jesus Christ, but it's only a superficial relationship. I never forget this as a kid growing up. All the boys wanted to date the popular girls, and all the popular girls wanted to date the popular boys. And if the boy got to date the cheerleader, whoa! Everybody got to see it. And if the girl got to date the football player, whoa! player, but I got to see it. Basketball player, everything. I don't know how it is now. As hell was when I was in school. They all wanted to be popular. Everybody wants to be popular. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But popularity only goes so far. Only so far that relationship will go based upon worldly things. But when it's based upon the spiritual. John chapter 15, I'll hush. Verse number 3, Jesus says this to the disciples. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus spent time with those disciples and talked with them. Now you may think I'm crazy, but whenever I read the scriptures, Judy, and a lot of times I'll keep my mouth shut and I'll read them in my mind, and it's like I'm pretending that I'm hearing him speak to me. Now, you all may think I'm crazy. I'm not trying to build my faith upon a voice I hear in my mind. But when I get close to him and hear him think, these words mean just much more than a bunch of words. They mean something. Jesus said, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That means he wanted to spend time with them disciples. He chose them disciples. Later on in the verses, you'll find out, he says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I picked you out. You didn't pick me out. I saw you way, 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 way before the foundation of the world. I said, man, I love them. He says in verse number 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's what Jesus did. If you want to get closer to the Lord, he says, keep his commandments. I've heard so many people say, well, preacher, the commandments are just hard. He's not talking about the 450 Mosaic laws and the other laws that might have been added in from years past from the priest. He's talking about one law. One law. In verse number 12, he said, this is my commandment that I love. This is my commandment that you love one another. As I have loved you. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Hold up, preacher. You ain't insinuating. Preacher, you ain't insinuating that we'd risk our own lives for each other? Oh, no, that's crazy talk, preacher. No. I didn't sign up for this. You're twisting scriptures. Did it not say, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you? Did he not say that you're to love one another as I loved you? What's that mean, preacher? He says, greater love than no man in this. And the man will lay down his life for his friends. I always took that scripture. Don't get mad at me. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Don't look at me like I'm a weak-minded individual. I always took that scripture and just thought, well, that's Jesus doing that for everybody else. But if you read it in the context of the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, he's talking about the love that you should have for one another. Well, preacher, I don't like so-and-so. Man, you might want to get a pulpit committee together. This might be the last one. You said, preacher, why are you preaching? I said, you ask God. I had no idea this was in here tonight. I don't know why he sent it to all of us that's here. Because you might be thinking, well, you know what? Sister so-and-so needs to hear this message. And brother so-and-so needs to hear that message. We need to hear it. We need to hear that. Someone says, you're crazy. Would you risk yourself for Junior Weddington? And as much as I'd like to say no, there's something in my heart that says yes. There's something in my heart that says yes. He said, preacher, I'm making no sense. He said in verse number 14, he said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I've heard some people say this. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm just giving you what God's saying to say. I've heard so many people say, "Preacher, I've prayed for this, and I've prayed for this, and I've prayed for this, and God hasn't given it to me. I've prayed it in Jesus' name. I've named it, and I've claimed it, and I've got all faith." But the problem is you ain't got no love for your neighbor. You ain't got no love for your church members. You ain't got no love for the relationship with the Lord. Don't take this as I'm bashing you. What God's trying to say is that so many times we base our walk upon other things. I've heard some people told me this whenever I got married. They said, "Jason, your life is over. Jason, your life is ruined. As soon as you get married, everything's over." I know that mentality, two paychecks is better than one. Well, me and Tammy was behind the eight ball from the beginning because she didn't have a job when we got married. Did you? Taco Bell. Sometimes when she worked at Taco Bell, it was good at the evening at closing time. Got a burrito. Hurt during the night, but hey. They'd say, "Your life's over, your life's over." And at one point, I thought my life was. I told that story Sunday. But after I got saved, there's something that moved in my heart, Amy, I never felt before. And when 1 John 3:14 showed up in the scriptures, and it says, "I know I've passed from death into life because I love the brethren." During vacation Bible school, somebody says, "Jason, what do you do to them people that's done you wrong, lied on you? Did you go up and shake their hand?" I go, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do." "Well, I can't do that." "Well, I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm just saying I still do." Somebody says, "How do you do it?" It's Him. It's Him. When it's all said and done, when you go home tonight, you young people, you go home tonight, what do you think of when you're by yourself? Some people's got the best home situations, and some people's got the worst. And I've always heard people say that the people that's got the best home situations never think about the Lord. It's always the people who's in the worst situations always think for help. But can I say this? We was all in a shape. We're all in a sad state if we don't know Him. The Apostle Paul did this. He gave up everything he had, gave up all his prestige, gave up all his place in the Sanhedrin court, and he risked his own life to preach to people that was trying to kill him. Yeah. Why would he give it all up? He said, "I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." A couple weeks ago, I told you I gave up UK basketball. Stop watching it. I know it's a blasphemy in some folks' eyes. It still hurts. But I got to spend more time with the Lord. I hate driving that short wheelbase truck. It beats me to death. But for the last 2 days, all I could do is just talk with the Lord. I had nobody else around me. I just had a diesel motor roaring in my ears. Didn't have no good heat. But that day went by just like that, either because I could talk with the Lord. Talk with the Lord. If I get a dump truck driver head on because I'm just having a time. Am I saying what you should do to get closer to the Lord? But if you're here and saved, you don't need me to tell you, do you? You should already know in your heart. There's a joy that comes to knowing Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight, Jesus said this. He said, "These things I write unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be full." I wonder tonight, the joy of knowing Jesus, how much joy do you have in your heart?